Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. We're the second line from the top where the words is Amar Rava. So now we're deciding the halacha with regards to how to act on Tisha B'Av. So it says the Gemara Amar Rava Lachakar Am Shimma Gamliel, that the halacha follows from Shimma Gamliel, who holds that the restrictions of being more machmir on the avelos and different halachas is going to apply only on Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Amar Rava Lachakar Am Meir, and Rava also says the lacha is going to be the opinion of Rav Meir, who holds that the restrictions apply only before Tisha B'Av, but not after Tisha B'Av. And says the Gemara V'Tavayu L'Kula, both decisions of Rava, the both halachas Rava was telling us, were going to be mekel, there were going to be akula, there were going to be leniencies. The Gemara is going to explain that Rav Meir's ruling that the restrictions apply only before Tisha B'Av and not after is going to be together with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's ruling that the restrictions apply only during Shavua Shechavo, that the halacha is going to be that these are only Shavua Shechavo that precede Tisha B'Av, and they do not apply any time before that at all. Tzricha. And it was necessary for Rava to teach us both halachas. Di'iash min halacha k'Rav Meir, because the Vieira told us, only the halacha follows Rav Meir. Hava min afila m'rosh chodesh. I might have thought that the restrictions are going to start taking effect during Rosh Chodesh. As we pointed out, the fact that we're machmir starting Rosh Chodesh is not me'ikar din of the Gemara. That's a later minhag that the Rishonim had added, earlier Rishonim, Rishonim Ashkenaz. Sfardim, many Sfardim don't have any of their restrictions until Shavua Shechavo, which is, we see over here, clearly ikar din of the Gemara. And that's why, in a case of a major torah of certain things that a person has whatever reason to need to be machmir, then we're going to be more makel until Shavua Shechavo. There's more reasons to be makel because that's the ikar din de Gemara. So therefore, Rava has to tell us that the lacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, who said that the restrictions apply only during Shavua Shechavo. Now, why don't you just tell me the lacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel and not the other version? Because if you'd only tell me that the lacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel, then Havamina Afilu La'achar, I might have thought that the restrictions apply throughout the week of Tisha B'Av, the Shavua Shechavo Tisha B'Av. Let's say Tisha B'Av on Tuesday, so then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, after Tisha B'Av, I'd have to be Ma'achmer. Therefore, the Lacha tells us that we follow Rav Meir, who says the Lacha is only applied to the days before Tisha B'Av in that week, from Saturday night, Sunday, Monday, until Tisha B'Av on Tuesday, in our example that we just gave. However, after Tuesday, the Lachas would not apply. We're Ma'achmer on the day after Tisha B'Av because it's the Yom that the Iker Srefa has, and that's why we're Ma'achmer to treat it like the Lachas of the 9 days. That again is not mamish, eating. I don't think any of that's bakered in the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's only minag as well, a later minag to be machmir on that. Important to note, just a beautiful approach that the Rav has. He was very amazing, everything is amazing, but even Rav Shetler likes to quote this, that in just explaining minhagim that we have, the deep nuances and the explanations that he gave were much profound insights into a lot of times things that we thought is like simple minhagim. He explains them very beautifully. So here also he explains the minhag of Ashkenazim to be more machmir than dinner to Gemara, and he explains because at the end of the day, we know that Rachman al-Tzad, if a person has a mace, so that's a sudden death. And therefore we immediately tell him to not do any mitzvos till he buries him. Only take care of your dead. Think about nothing other than burying the body. And you don't do mitzvos. And you don't drink meat and wine. That's for another purpose. So you're not afraid you're not going to take care of the burial. Then after you bury the person, and you have Shiva, and the first few days of Shiva are more machmir than the last 4 days of Shiva. And during Shiva is extremely machmir period. You're not allowed to learn Torah, and it's basically an extension. And we're slowly releasing the person because of his sadness is going to go in stages until after a year, when eventually things are going to, he's going to ke'ilu forget about the mace. So after Shiva, we have the shloshim period, which is, again, we're lightening it a little bit from the Shiva. He's allowed to learn, but he's not supposed to shave or cut his hair. But and then there's other restrictions. And then after the Shiva is the whole Yud Beis Chodesh, the days where the whole year where you don't go to parties, you don't do things together. That is something that is slowly, like ke'ilu releasing the person out of his avelus to slowly show the person how to get back to normal life, while obviously remembering that whole year, remembering and thinking about the person, his loved one that had passed away. This is the halachas for Rachman al-Tzad, if a person's parent passes away. Now that is, says Rav Soloveitchik, that is all with regards to, the person who knows about a mace. But this is Avelis Hashanah. Every year, we know that the Avelis is coming. We know that Tisha B'Av is coming. So we do the exact opposite, Rav Soloveitchik. So beautifully explains the minhag of Ashkenazim, is that we do the exact opposite. That the 3 weeks is what would be paralleled after Yud Beis Chodesh. It should be paralleled after the year. And the halachas of like, that's why we don't gather together and have parties. And that's why we don't do other things that are restricted during Yud Beis Chodesh. We don't listen to music during the three weeks because those are things that are like Yud Beis Chodesh. Then after that, we start from Rosh Chodesh Av, then we start already preparing ourselves by getting ready like the Lachas of Shloshim. That's why we don't We don't, well, according to Rosalvichik, actually, that's one of the nafkamines. Rosalvichik goes more makil about shaving during the 3 weeks because of this halacha. He understood so clearly that this is how the halacha is supposed to be said, and therefore he understood that shaving, if a person, just like Yubay's Chodesh after Yubay's Chodesh, there's no isra really to shave if a person is going to after Shloshim. So the halacha is that, so too, during there's 3 weeks, it's actually a kula of Rosalvichik's approach. But having any sort of party would be another chumra on Rosalvichik's side. By the way, during Shloshim, we start enacting more restrictions upon the person that we have during Shloshim also in terms of laundering and things of that nature, which are going to start being usher during the 9 days. And then already on Tisha B'Av, building up, then Shavuot Shechabah gets even more strict. And then Mamish on Tisha, Erev Tisha B'Av, certain halachas already on Tisha B'Av is like Mish Mutal Maltal Panav. The certain halachas, we don't learn any Torah, and it's like the Shiva, where you don't learn any Torah and your Mamish in the Shiva process. We're doing the Avelis exact version in reverse. It's a very nice shot. That's all Minhag, though. Again, the end of the Gemara we see over here is Shavuot Shechabah. Okay, continuing in the Gemara now. Erev Tisha B'Av, Loyochad on Beis Tavshilin. On Erev Tisha B'Av, a person should eat cooked two foods. Here we're discussing the halachas of what's called the Sudam of Sekes, the last meal before the beginning of the fast. So the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to have two cooked dishes. Agav is b'machlokas rishonim. Is a cooked dish, which is something, let's say, like an apple or something, which you could eat, raw, which is eaten just kimo shulchai. So is the lach over there that also considered a cooked dish or not? That's b'machlokas rishonim. But ba'etzem, we're going to see other halachas about these cooked dishes as well. Amar Yehuda, lo shenel meshesh osomal. Rav Yehuda says that halacha where it's usher to eat two cooked dishes only from the 6 hour meaning from chatzos and onwards after chatzos. Aval meshesh osomata mutar. Before the 6 hours on Erev Tisha B'Av, it's permitted to eat two cooked dishes. Ve'amar Rav Yehuda also told us lo shenel ela besudam afsikpa, that this halacha about the eating the two dishes is only the meal which you're concluding before you're eating the fast. However, if I eat, let's say in the seventh or even eighth hour, it's not my sudam of sekes, but sudam of shenam asik ba mutar, then the lacha would be that then it's permitted to eat two more cooked dishes. And agav, this is actually going to be what the common practice of the poskim recommend, which is the thing that is done by most people, is to really break up the real meal that you're eating before the fast, not to get to the, because it's very complicated to see, like to only have two cooked dishes and not really have. So what we do is we have a regular normal meal. Well, most people, what always was done when I was camps or other places with Willig and Shlita and other big rabbanim, is that we would have a regular normal meal. Whatever you're going to eat to help yourself, you know, watermelon's always good and different things that they would serve to help you have your fast, but regular food, pasta, whatever it may be that a person's eating, supposed to be plain food, obviously not meat and meat and wine. Those things are Isra Medina Gemara. We're going to see actually on Erev Tisha B'Av, but that we don't have. However, we would we bench, take a break, whatever it is, and then like a half hour, whatever it is, to make sure you're not Brachla and Sricha. Then you have the Sudam of Sekes, and this would be following this halach over here that you're allowed to have food after the 6 hours, as long as it's not the last meal that you're eating. And the Gemara explains Tavai Lekula, and you need to explain both leniencies, and you need to teach the Sricha, teach both halachas of Rav Yehuda. You have to say both Dishpan and Sudam of Sikba, because if Rav Yehuda only told us that the restriction on the two cooked dishes applies to a meal which a person is finishing, so then I would have thought, Hava Amina, I would have thought even before in the morning, if you know, for whatever reason, you only know you have access to food at 11 a.m., let's say in the army or something like that, you're only able to eat till 11 a.m., that's the last meal you're eating for the day, and they're not going to feel they're going to fast the next day. So the lacha would be that, I would have thought that there you would also only be allowed to eat two cooked dishes. Therefore, that teaches you that no, even if it's the last meal you're having, however it's before chatzos, the halacha would be that you would not have to have the halachas of the Sudam of Sekes. You'd be allowed to eat as many dishes as you want. And if Yehuda told us the halacha from the 6 hour and onwards and didn't tell us the halacha that it's with regards to the Sudam of Sekes, I would have thought that the halacha would be that even if it's not your last meal, as long as it's after chatzos, I would have thought it's usher to have two cooked dishes, so therefore Kamashman Basuna Masikba. So therefore Yehuda teaches you another kula, which is teaching us that the two cooked dishes apply only at the concluding meal of Sudam Afsekas, and that only when it's after chatzos. You need both conditions to be machmir. If you have either one, let's say it's not your last meal, which again that's what halacha maisa, many people are makel on that bisman is that. And then the second halacha is that if it's before chatzos but your last meal, both of them you can be makel. Now the Gemara continues that Tanya Kalishna Kama, that we have a brisa which supports Rav Yehuda's first ruling that said that again a two cooked dishes applies only after chatzos, and Tanya Kalishna Basa, we have a brisa which actually supporting his last ruling as well, which is only to the concluding meal, in the last meal you're about to eat, not anything before then. Tana Kalishna Basha, the brace which supports the last ruling, and that halacha is Hasoid Erev Tisha B'Av, Yimasu Listos Udacharis, Mutar Lechol Basar V'Lishto. So someone is eating, right, on Erev Tisha B'Av, and he intends to eat another meal, then Mutar Lechol Basar V'Lishto, and he's allowed to eat meat and drink wine at this meal, because only the Sunnah of Sekas is Me'ikar Din, Asar to drink meat and eat wine. But if not, he's forbidden to eat meat and drink wine. Agav, we see that the meat and wine also is the one kasha in Rav Soloveitchik's whole approach. I'll just mention that also, instead of mentioning the whole approach, is that the kasha that the people ask in Rav Soloveitchik's Mahalech is that at the end of the day, we don't see anywhere that really meat and wine is totally us, is totally mutter for Navel during Shiva. Not only that, the Gemara says that yain was one of the only reasons Mayan was created was in order to to help a little bit, you know, a person in such a sadness, tremendous sadness over his loss. So to have a little wine to make him feel a little bit better is something which the Gemara says is one of the reasons Hashem created wine to mimenachem the avelim. So how does Rav Soloveitchik answer that? He says, no, based on a different Gemara, that really, if at the end of the day, Chazal wanted to ask meat and wine originally because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And then they weren't able to, the Gemara's a whole Mahalech, why not? Because it was too hard on them, because you should ask for fruits and water, and the whole thing that the Gemara goes on to. So really, as a Zecher for that Gemara, Soloveitchik says that we instituted not having meat and wine. Okay, that's Agav, just a point. There's one kasha that people ask on Soloveitchik's approach. But back to Gemara now. Tana Lishna Kama, that we were going back, we were explaining, we have a Braisa which supports the Lishna Kama, the first ruling as well. Erev Tisha B'Av Loyal Faladam Shnei Tavshilin. That an Erev Tisha B'Av, a person is not allowed to eat again, V'imlav Ashulach Basar Lishna Zan, so I'm pointing out, the Raya is that it's usher to drink meat and wine. So the Mishnah says, that a person is not allowed to cook two foods. Also, you're not allowed to have wine. So the Braisa explicitly applies it to the Suda Mafsekas. We can assume that restriction of two cooked foods also similarly was only applied to Suda Mafsekas. That's the Raya for Rav Yehuda. This is a lapse ruling. Tanik Kalishna Kama now, according to the first ruling of Rav Yehuda, because we see in the Braisa which says, Erev Tisha B'Av, Lo Yochal Adam Shnei Tavshilin, a person on Erev Tisha B'Av should not eat two cooked foods. Lo Yochal Basar V'Lo Yishtei Yain, nor is he allowed to eat meat or drink wine. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Amar Yishane, you're allowed to drink meat and wine, just modify it. And what does that mean? How do you modify what you're eating? If you're accustomed to eating two cooked dishes, you only have one type of dish. You normally have 10 people, have 5, because that's again showing that out of respect, reducing the number of simcha you're having. Because you normally have 10 cups of wine. You should drink only 5 cups of wine. All these halachas only from the 6 hours and onwards. So you see over here the halachic status of the Suda Masekas is only from the 6 hour and onwards. Before 6 hours, you're allowed to eat as usual. We see over here that both according to the Tanna Kamma and Shimon Gamliel, the restrictions against eating the Shnei Tavshilin on Erev Tisha B'Av is only going to take effect after Chatzos. So we see Mamesh two rayas for Rav Yehuda's halacha, and that's the halacha Maisa we paskin. Now that we're continuing to eat after dinner and a brisa, Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam Shnei Tavshilin. And on Erev Tisha B'Av, a person should not eat two cooked foods. Lo yochal basar v'lo shayan, you should not eat meat or drink wine. Different Meir, that's a Meir that says that applies all day. Chachamim say that you need to just modify what you're eating in terms of the multiple dishes. It says the Gemara, what does that mean? And you also reduce the amount of meat and wine. How does it mean in reducing it? You normally have a litra basar, which is supposed to come out anywhere from like 15, 17 ounces of meat. That's a nice size steak. You should eat only half a litra. If you're not accustomed to a log of yain, which is, six betims, so whatever that comes out to, a few ounces, you should only have half of that. Then if you're not normally accustomed to eating meat and wine, then don't dafka over here, go out of your way to have meat and wine, and it should be usher. If you normally have like as a dessert type of food, you would have radishes or salted fish after your meal. It's not really the custom we have for having dessert, but that's what maybe that they enjoyed. That would be mutter. That's not usher. Tani idav chalin or another braisa. Kol shu mishum tish above any meal that is eaten because of Tisha B'Av, asur lechol basar v'asur lishtos yayin. It's asur to have meat and wine, v'asur lechot, it's also forbidden to wash yourself. Kol she'ino mishum Tisha B'Av. Anything that is not based on Tisha B'Av, meaning that it's not the, it's a meal of Suda Mafsekas on a, not on Erev Tisha B'Av or on a different fast. So then, mutar lechol basar lishtos yayin, really make our din, it's mutar to eat meat and drink wine, v'asur lechot, however, it's asur to wash yourself. That's interesting. A lot of people have it. It's really mutter to wash. Not that it's usher to wash. Some explain that it's a gerset problem over here. That should be mutter to wash, whatever. So we have different gerses. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi, Mishum Avi, Rabbi Shmuel, but then Rabbi Yosi said the name of his father. Kol shel shemutter lechol basar, mutter lechot. As long as it's permitted to eat meat, one is permitted to wash as well. So our version of the braisa, which says as long as permitted to eat meat, is an inclusion of what Rabbi Shmuel is arguing on the Tanna Kamma. Rashi, he also wants to fix the text of the braisa. He deletes the word of basar. So Rabbi Shmuel is understood to be machlokas between the Tanna Kamma's first ruling and that of Rabbi Shmuel, in which case it would be machlokas about washing at the time of the Suda Mafsekas, since at that time that meat was forbidden. Rabbi Shmuel would say that as long as in general it's permitted, washing is also going to be permitted. Okay, that's machlokas Rabbi Shmuel according to the way Rashi wants to understand the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is explaining. Now the Raisa continues discussing the halachas of Tisha B'Av. Tanur Banan, kol mitzvah zanogas ba'avel. Any restrictions apply to a mourner? Noagas b'Tisha B'Av as a mourner in Shiva, that would apply on Tisha B'Av. And so, actually, the first halacha is Azra Chilu Shia. That halacha doesn't, the person is allowed to eat during the Shiva. Okay, so that's, that part's not included. But the rest of the list is going to be the comparison. Rashi already pointed this out. So, Vesicha Ni'ilas Asandel Vatash Vishamita. So, Shtia to drink is mutter for Shiva, but that halacha does apply on Tisha B'Av. Obviously, Vesicha is a person anointing oneself. Ni'ilas Asandel is wearing shoes. That's Asr during the Shiva. Also, Asr on Tisha B'Av Vatash Vishamita. And having marital relations is also Asr on Tisha B'Av as well as on Shiva as well. V'asr likros b'Torah v'nevim k'suvim. This halacha also applies. It's asr to learn. It's asr to learn Tanakh. Because we know the pasuk says "Pekuda Hashem Yisharim Misamche Lev," that the Torah gladdens a person's heart. So it would be inappropriate to learn things that would give you simcha. And that's it's asr. Also, it's asr for in Shiva even dvarim haru'uyim. That was my ha'ara. I don't know what the heter is, but even things that are sad, we're about to see in a moment, during Shiva, it's asr to learn them in a kehila, in a group. So like a public shir, not exactly sure what the heter. The olam is obviously meiko for this, but during Shiva, that is asr, that a person is supposed to have like a public quorum, even if it's not about something that's sad. So I'm not sure exactly what the heter is, but that betim is something which is done and very common. And it's actually interesting. I think someone told me this, that the head of Vayu Torah, so I know him well, he told me that one of the most viewed days on Vayu Torah is on Tisha B'Av, because no one has anything to do, and then they just listen to whatever they have, the things that are on Vayu Torah. Either way, the Shadrach Mishnah, the whole Machlokas, actually, Machlokas Achronim, a very interesting Machlokas, is there a chiyuv to learn the things that are sad? Is there no chiyuv at all of Talmud Torah? Or is there a chiyuv, and then you should have a chiyuv to restrict yourself to learn, like Hilchos Avelos, or learn sad things like the Eov, or learn the Kinos? Those are chiyuv on you to learn. So, Rosh Weiss is a nice shot from the Klausenberg Rebbe that he says it can't be that it'll be a chiyuv to learn without simcha. The simcha is a minei ubei, probably it would be a nice thing to learn, but as a formal chiyuv to learn when it's not misameach, that Rosh Weiss quotes is it can't be that would be a chiyuv. Either way, Lashon Mishnah Talmud Mishnah Sagados. Again, it's usher to learn Mishnah Gemara Midrashim Halachos Sagados. Aval Korav Makom Sheinu Ragil Likros. However, learning something which you're not accustomed to, Rashi says it's going to distress you because you don't know it and you're going to be sad about it. Then that's something you do allowed to learn. And you're allowed to learn Mishnahs or Gemaras again that you're not accustomed to learning. So that you're allowed to learn from the Kinos in Echa, and also learn out Eov and the sad things in Yirmiyahu. And that's one of the only days, I think, the Zuberman school in Yerushalayim, they learn every single day of the year, only like an hour or whatever, on Shabbos even, they learn in Erev Kippur, Yom Kippur, they learn every single day of the year. Tisha B'Av is the one day they don't have any yeshiva. So, that the orders of Hashem are upright and gladdening one's heart. Again, that's where you see gladdening one's heart is the iser to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ef Eino Korav B'Bakom Shein Ragel Likros. I think that's how we pass. And also, you're not allowed to learn even things that you don't know of and you're not accustomed to, that you're also not allowed to learn. Ve'ino Shein B'Bakom Shein Ragel Lishonos. Again, learning Gemara and Torah, even in places that you're going to have some joy by learning it. However, Korehu B'Iyo V'Vekidus Ram Ram Shemiyah, he agrees. The sad things from Eov and from Eicha and different things in Yirmiyahu. Interesting why we switched the order. We Eov to Kinos, but that's an interesting point. But Tikinos Shabayim Batalin Bo and the Tinokas Beos Rabbanan are Batalin. They're not allowed to learn. He agrees with that. Pekud Hashem Yisharim Misam Chalev, that the words of Hashem are upright and they gladden a person's heart. So that is a Lach Lamaisa that a person is usher to do on Tisha B'Av. Also, we point out that we don't wear tefillin. That's a similar custom to the Avilas B'Yom Rishon, that a person doesn't put on tefillin, only put on by Mincha. That's a similar thing, but Perech HaChavosh Alecha, we don't want, that's the minhag also, is not to put on tefillin by Shachris. Lo yochal adam basar v'lo yishti yayin, don't drink wheat or drink wine. So the Raisa says, Tana, we learn in a Raisa, that acha aval ochalu basar maleach v'shosu yayin megito. You're allowed to eat salted meat and drink wine from the wine press. Basar maleach ad kama. How long you allowed, what's considered salted meat? Because salted meat is considered inferior to regular meat. As long as it's like a shlamim, as Rashi points out, that a shlamim was a shalosh shabim alcho ala shnayamim v'layla echad, that it's 2 days and one night. And we know because why does it shlamim? Because Rashi quotes because the pasuk says it's called vanosim basar zevach shlamim. That's called basar. However, longer than that is nifsach rebeis yom yom. It starts getting spoiled. It's not considered. It's an inferior quality. That's not considered real meat, and that'd be mutter. Tosafot point out that l'didan asr lecha basar filo maluch bisman meruba, because that's what we eat. We eat salted meat all the time, and for us that is a pleasure. That is a delight to eat, and that's halacha of ma'aseh. I think by us as well. We eat people eat salted meat all the time. Well, that's most of our meats are like that. So that would be Also for us as well, based on Tosfos, even for that point. Now the Gemara says, Yain vegitu ad kama, so how long is it considered fresh from his wine press and therefore still mutter before Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara calls mashu tose. So if it's still long in the process of fermenting, that's considered new wine, therefore it's not considered, it's considered something which is inferior, not considered real wine. As the Braisa says, Tana yain tose ein mishum giloy. So the lachal of, we know that there's a concept of giloy, of uncovered drinks, any uncovered liquids is usher to drink because maybe the snake put its venom in it. That's the lachal amaisa. So does that apply? Let's just put for a second, but go back to the word that again, the fermenting wine, apparently we have a masura, Rashi points out, is going to repel a snake from coming, and therefore there's no reason to assume it was poisoned by the snake, and therefore it's going to be mutter. So the kamat says, also how long does it fermentation last? Gimayam, and that's going to be considered for 3 days. Now, just to point out that at the end of the day, why is this halacha still halacha bismanazeh? So Shulchan says we don't have snakes walking around our houses. You can be meikel, but the Gra famously said that we don't know. This is the number I think like 319. I forgot the exact number, but a lot of reasons behind every takanas chazal, and they only explain one or two of them. So if that one or two doesn't apply, but we still have to keep the halacha for sure, says the Gra, and that's why he was very makbid about. Even water, anything. Water that's Megula, Yain Megula, anything that's Megula, based on the Gra, many are Machmir Bizmanaz as well, because we don't know the reasons for all the Takanas Chazal, and he therefore says, some of it could be Alpisod, Alpikabal, different reasons, and the Chazal didn't tell us all the reasons, he only told us a few of them. If those reasons don't apply, the Lacha, unless we have a Masur from the Gemara that the Lacha doesn't apply, we'd have to still be Machmir on any Takana. So now the Gemara continues. So they would give him, they would bring him dry bread with salt, v'yoshiv, and he would sit, turning on to the next. He would sit between the oven and the stove, which Rashi points out that's the most, the dirtiest area of his house, l'chor, because that's where it got all dirty. The oven, all the ashes from the stove, it would be very dirty there. V'ochal, he would eat his dry bread there. V'shosa, alav kiton shamayim, he drink a container of water. V'doma, kimishim mutalfanav, and he mamish looked like someone that was dead before him, because he was like an actual mourner. It was very sad. My tzaddikim also, they mamish feel Tisha B'Av, and it's a very sad time, and that's also one of the minig, because they have the bread dipped in the ashes. And we see over here a little bit of a precedent for that. Tanan Asim, we learn in the Mishnah, Makom Shenagu Lasas Malacha B'Tisha B'Av, place where they're accustomed to work on Tisha B'Av, Osin. Makom Shenagu Shalola Asos Ein Osin, a place where they do not, they're not accustomed to do work, they're not allowed to. V'chol Makom Talmid Chachamim B'Tilim. In every place, a Talmid Chacham should remain idle, meaning he should not he should not be working. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Olam Yasa Da Kolan Katzma Katzamar Chacham. Each person should always make himself like a Talmud Chacham. Tanan Amihachi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Olam Yasa Da Matzma Katzamar Chacham. Kadesh Is Anet. Because you should discomfort yourself. You should make yourself. You should be like a Talmud Chacham in this manner, and you should afflict yourself. Even though before on Daf Yudam Ad Beis, we said Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that a person should not always accept the practices of Talmid Chachamim. It's like you are a arrogance. However, here something is distressing in nature, and you're not going to be appearing as you're doing it mitzad yura, then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel will allow every person to be like a Talmud Chacham. That's not considered yura. The Gemara says, "Tani idach." We learn in Rabbi. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, "Kol ocha v'shosa b'tisha b'av ki'ilu ocha v'shosa mekipurid." If you eat and drink on Tisha B'Av, it's just like you're eating Yom Kippur. That's how chamer it is. Rabbi Kiva Omer, "Kol osam alacha b'tisha b'av." Even if you work, "Ein orava siman bracha la'olam." And that's how we hold that. Even if a person is in a place, a Mishnah Berurah points this out. Even if it's a place which was where the custom I work at Tisha B'Av, Rabbi Kiva is telling us that you're not going to roya siman brachal olam, you're not going to see a benefit from it. Rav Melech Biederman always has, when the Chazal tell us these etzas, Rav Melech Biederman always gives a mashal, a very nice mashal, about this inyan, and he always says that there was a person who was the son of the wealthiest person in town. But his son was mamish, he was so dumb, he had no intellect whatsoever, and the father didn't know what to do. The father had no idea what to do in terms of his son, and the father ended up passing on, and the son took over the first Yom Kippur. They were selling him after Yoina. So this guy was very wealthy, and he didn't know anything. He didn't know anything about any halachas. He didn't know about getting the brachas, and they were selling also psicha and mafter yona. So the wealthy person, for psicha of Ne'ila, they start selling at $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, right? And the bidding is going up, and all of a sudden this guy's son, he bids $5,000 and he gets psicha Ne'ila. And everyone's wondering, where in the world did this guy get the etzer from to get psicha Ne'ila? He didn't even know how to open the aron. They had to explain to him, you go up to the aron, you open the aron, you close it, how to do psicha. They had to teach him exactly how to do that. Obviously, after Yonah, he built on that too, and they had to explain to him how to make the brachas, but they were asking him, why did you decide to do psicha Ne'ila? You don't even know how to open the aron. You don't even realize the schusim of it. So he said, my father gave me one etzer. He gave me one etzer. He said, where other people are investing, that's where you have to invest. So the first Yom Kippur, after my father died, I I went to shul, and all the rich people are bidding on all the rich people, the wealthiest people are bidding on psich and ilah. So I see it's something that I should be investing in, and that's why I spent the thing to invest in it. So Rav Melech Biderman says in the nimshal is that Chazal tell us something. You could bet Chazal knew they're telling us what to invest in and what not to invest in. They're telling us that if you work on Tisha B'Av, you're not going to see any siman bracha la'olam. So believe in Chazal. We take the day off. The person's not supposed to be working on that day. Obviously, if you're going to get fired, something else. But the etzem, we see that seeing siman bracha from any of the work that you do, that is a nice mashal from Melech Biderman to just illustrate this point that we should not be working. But Chachamim Omrim, by the way, I'm not as worried about finishing this amud, is because tomorrow's daf is half of only one amud. So we have a lot of we'll have a lot of time tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, to make up whatever we're getting to now. So we continue. The Gemara says, "V'chachamim omrim." So kolosim alacha b'tishav ve'inim asal b'leshlaim. It does not mourn for shalaim. Ain't a roe b'sim chasa. You're not going to see the joy that when Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Simcha Yerushalayim ve'gilu b'kolavei asisu atam misos kol misabim aleha." That you should make Yerushalayim b'simcha lebedik happy, and all those who love Yerushalayim should be elated with Yerushalayim, and all those who mourn her. So we see all those are mourning Yerushalayim. Mikan Amru, the Chazal tell us, those who mourn Yerushalayim are going to merit and witness the joy of Simcha, of the joy of Yerushalayim. There's a beautiful verse from the Chassam Sofer. It says that the Gemara is meduyak. The Gemara doesn't say, in the future. Rather, someone who is mourning Yerushalayim will merit to witness Yerushalayim right now. Is that you recognize how chashuv is Yerushalayim already? That's already part of the rebuilding process of seeing Yerushalayim. There's a famous story with Napoleon, the legend of Napoleon. I don't know if it's actually true, that Napoleon was walking around his town once on Erev Tisha B'Av. He was going for a walk on one of his provinces, and hears bitter crying coming out of a shul. So he asks, what is all this commotion? The Mamish, they're bitterly crying in my province. What happening? So he sends one of his emissaries inside to see, to ask the Jew, there was the Jews crying, and it was the night of Tisha B'Av. And he sent one of the emissaries, and they say, why are you crying? He says, because our temple was destroyed. And they come out, they tell Napoleon, the Jewish temple is destroyed, so they're mourning over the temple. He says, the Jewish temple is destroyed. I'm the king of the whole world. I know exactly where everything's going on, everything. I never heard of any temple being destroyed. Go ask them, what happened? Where did it get destroyed? I'll try to take care of it. What happened to them? I like the Jews. So they went back in. They asked them when they did. They said, no, the temple was destroyed 2,000 years ago. But we're mourning it every single year, and we're crying over the fact we want it to be rebuilt. And so they send it back to Napoleon that it wasn't destroyed during your time, your king, my majesty. It was destroyed 2,000 years ago. He says it was destroyed 2,000 years ago. They're acting like it was destroyed today. They're definitely going to be seeing that it's going to be rebuilt. If they're still mourning over it 2,000 years later, that's something already showing that they care about it so much. It sounds like it's something that's going to happen very soon. So that's the idea of the Gemara over here. The Gemara is telling us that a person is a muster for us, is that a person who's a Sabi Shalim right now, you recognize what your Shalim is all about. That's already halfway through the point. That's the idea. That you're recognizing what your Shalim is all about, that's something that's already halfway there. Tana Mihachi, the Gemara quotes a Braitha also that, and Shainam is Sabi Shalim, Enoa is Simchas. Someone who does not mourn your Shalim properly is not going to merit to witness the joy of your Shalim. Tana Mihachi, Braitha called Ocha, Basar, Vashosian, Tisha B'Av, eats meat or drinks wine on Tisha B'Av. It's not talking about Tisha B'Av, it tells about even Erev Tisha B'Av, because Lechora, you're not allowed to eat anything. Here is meat and wine. So that, I love a kasuv omer, vati, onasam, alatmosam, the sins are in their bones, literally, as if their sins are engraved in their bones, and you're not going to be escaping any punishment, and also that your bones, is a reference to, the Ritva points out, is a reference to tchias amesim, that you're not going to be zocha to tchias amesim. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, b'chvias misa, v'lo d'chachamim, that you're required to turn over your beds, and the chachamim don't agree with him. Says the Gemara, elaborating the dispute, Tanya, Amr l'Rabbi Yehuda, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, l'dvarech, according to your opinion, that Tisha B'Av, everyone has to be machmir, and turn your bed over, ubros menikos matin aleh, but when people are pregnant and nursing, they're gonna have to turn over their beds, Amr lehem, afani l'amarte ela biyacha, how much time people are able to, obviously a pregnant nursing woman, who have to sleep on their beds properly, then they're gonna be exempt. The turning over their beds, by the way that I once saw this actually, the old time beds of I remember where it was, some sort of museum, where you see the beds that they used to have in ancient times, they would turn them over, it would be like closer to the ground and be much more uncomfortable to sleep on. We don't have a metzias of that. Maybe may be sleeping on the floor, that's a concept we'll get to at the end of this. That it's talking to Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with whether someone who's not able to, that they're going to be putter from turning over their beds. And really, the Chachamim, there's not really such a machlokas, that when those who are obligated, those who are able to, the Chachamim hold that they should be obligated to. So the Gemara asks, might be nice, then what's the nafkamina between them? If they really both agree, if you're able to turn over the beds, even the Chachamim agree that you should. If you're not able to, Rebbe Yehuda's motive that you shouldn't, so then where's their machlokas? The Gemara says, ikamanayu, shar mitos, that the machlokas is with regards to the rest of the beds, that you don't need it only, that's machlokas over here. Because this time I was learning a braisa, kshem lechabos amisa, when the Chachamim said that a mourner is obligated to overturn his bed, lo mitos bilvadu kofet, not just his own bed, ela kol mitos kolim kofet, rather all beds in the house. So that's the machlokas. That you have to turn over the beds, where Rebbe Yehuda requires that they should turn all the beds in the house. Chachamim will say that you need to. Amrava Elchazak Ketana Didan. The Lacha is like our Tana and our Mishnah. Velo Dulo Chachamim. The Kol Ikar, implying that they did not agree with Rabbi Yehuda at all. According to Rava, he's saying that the Lacha, with regards to action Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, he's saying that the interpretation is whether the Tana of our Mishnah is agreeing with this or not. So the Chachamim would permit even someone who's capable of sleeping on the floor to sleep on his own bed during Tisha B'Av. So that is the din. Nowadays, Bizman Hazeh, because for whatever reason, we don't do the purposes of turning it over, but there is a concept that people suggest of sleeping on the floor beside the velus of the Chorban of Tisha B'Av, and that's something which Batim is recommended, and Alakha that if you can't, you can sleep on your bed. Also, Mimayit, if you normally have two pillows, use one pillow to discomfort yourself, to recognize we're in a state of Avelis over the Chorban, Kedayu Chorban Beis Elokeinu, at least once a year, to recognize that point. Okay, we'll pick up with Amar Mishim Gamliel. We have more than enough time tomorrow. We'll have a lot of time. It'll be a shorter daf, I guess, on tomorrow, finishing Mesechus Tainus. Make a Siyam. Again, it's a big Simcha, and it's actually interesting that the day after finishing Mesechus Tainus is a Tainus. It's going to be the day of Asar Batavis. So we should be Zocha, that it should be Tomar Vi, Tomar Chamishi, should be the May Sassan Simcha. So these should be times, Amir Tashem, where we're hoping, that these should be Amir Tashem, Sassan Chamachi, which one is referring to, should be May Sassan Simcha, Bez Hashem. We hope there'll be Simchas, and we'll pick up with tomorrow with the words of Amar, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.